Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Final hour, Nick Ashew, Chris Mackin for the guys. You better, you bet, BetQL, YouTube, Twitch, Odyssey, all of the things. You know, you never answered my question. We never officially decided which team between the Steelers and the Commanders was going to hit their, had a better chance of hitting the over. It sounds better to me chance like you're saying Pittsburgh, though, because the they both have a win total of 7.5. So you are riding with Trubisky and Tiny Hands Kenny Pickett this year. What it sounds like.
I am betting on Kenny with the small hands to eventually take over for Trubisky. And the back half of the Steelers schedule is not nearly as imposing as the front half, or I guess the back third. You know, once they get past week 11 and a Sunday nighter against the Bengals, they've got Indy, Atlanta, both against Baltimore. Okay. Carolina, Vegas, Cleveland in the mix as well. I mean, there's at least three wins there, if not four. So even if they start out 2-4, I think they wrap up probably 4-2, 4-3 down the stretch, which means they've only got to steal two from Miami, Philly, and New Orleans to get to 8 wins.
Well, when Washington starts off 4-0, you will eat your words, and I will make you pay and feel very embarrassed for fading them whole way.
So when Washington starts off 4-0, I'll have somebody wake you from your dream, Nick.
You know what? That's a dream I don't want to be awakened from, because it's been a very, very long time. In fact, as long as I've been following sports, they've been terrible pretty much, I guess, because last time they won a Super Bowl, I was so young, I didn't know what the Super Bowl was. So there we go. It's been a rough stretch for me. By the way, what is this weird story you sent me? Like, I'm all in on the weird stories. I love it.
Yeah.
And we've gone through so much stuff today. I have to, a pastor proposed to his girlfriend at her father's funeral. What the hell is this?
I don't know. I saw this story the other day, and it is. It's crazy. He's literally kneeling down to propose to her in front of her father's casket. It was at some church in South Africa, and she apparently appeared to say yes in the moment because she didn't know what else to do. But then later down the line was like, no, I'm good. Thanks. And he tried coming up with some ridiculous excuse about how he was trying to comfort her. I don't think that has to be a part of the comfort vibe, my man. No, that's not how that works.
There's other things you could do. These pictures, these screen grabs of the video are so awkward.
Yes,
I mean, everybody's looking in shock as the pastor. I mean, she's dating him. That's like they're dating. Her dad dies. He's overseeing, you know, the whole proceedings.
Right.
And then to comfort her, he decides this is the time for me to propose to her.
This is when I make my move.
This is something that she is always going to remember this. And he's like, yeah, I got a great idea. Let me propose to her at her father's funeral. Let me tell you something, man. People make poor decisions in life. I get it. And some of them are obviously worse than others. This is one of those ones where, no, it didn't physically hurt anybody, but it was one of the stupidest decisions you can make. We get way too overcreative with some of these proposals. It's like proposing at a sporting event. I hate them. They're cliche. They're played out. Stop doing it. No more of those.
This is up there, Nick, with doing the public proposal on like the Jumbotron or the scoreboard, but not knowing what the answer is going to be. That's the level of stupidity you've reached when you're proposing in front of the woman's dead father. Because if you don't know, I mean, lock, stock, 125% that you're getting the yes, you do not ask that question on a Jumbotron. Because there's, even if you believe it's the most minute chance that something could go wrong, you don't do it. You just don't.
It's like the episode in The Office where Michael Scott proposes to his girlfriend. They've dated for like 3 months, and she's his real estate agent, and it's at like a Diwali festival. Yeah. And it just goes up in front of everybody and proposes, and you're like, what? It's just so, like, you just there are people that really think that way. It's mind-blowing to me. I'm not a fan of these sports event proposal, though, because even if you're both a big fan of that team, at this point now, don't you just kind of feel gross doing it? Aren't you like, everybody's done this? I don't want to do this.
Right, it's played out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even some of the stuff that was kind of funny to watch on the Jumbotron, the scoreboard, for the last few years, or even going a little bit back in the day, like the kiss cam, for example, it was fun for a little bit. And then, you know, different arenas started coming up with different bits, right? Like where somebody would, you know, they'd get two people in the crowd and one of them would fake that they didn't want to be kissed. And then they'd get in a big fake argument or whatever. It's played out.
Wait, you're saying those aren't real? Those aren't real?
I'm sorry, Nick. Oh. I hate to break it to you. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Turns out, though, that's all an act.
I thought everything on the internet is true, though.
It is. It is.
Ah, okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. No worries. No worries.
Good. I'm still good there. We're fine.
Like the Lion King cam. That's a good one. I like that. You know,
that one is pretty funny.
Yeah.
They've got the one where you look like somebody. What is it? Like the lookalike cam or something I've seen?
Yeah.
I like that. And those can be funny because they always end up trolling somebody in the crowd. I've seen something where like a guy's got like a big beard and they say he looks like Cookie Monster or something. You know, whatever. They'll do something like that. That's funny. I'm in for a little trolling. I think that's good. But yeah, stuff just eventually gets played out. Philly, what is this, Bill? Phillies do dance like Weekend at Bernie's. That's pretty good.
I like
that's a pretty good one. Speaking of Philly, because I'm sure everybody's going to want to be dead in Philadelphia when they hear this, it has been confirmed, according to Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers will be back unless he quits. He's got 3 years left on his deal.
Just ruined
They're running this team back next year. That embarrassment we saw last night, they are running this thing back next year.
Just ruined everybody's weekend in Philly. Everybody. They were holding out hope against hope that maybe they'd get something. And think about it, too. Like, the real hope was, okay, well, maybe they find a way to shove Doc out the side door, right? And Jay Wright's not doing anything. Come on, let's make it happen.
Always rumors of the Sixers job being one of the only jobs that he would take. In fact, I was told by somebody a couple years ago that was one of the only NBA jobs he wanted. So whether that's changed over the last couple of years, I don't know. But what I do know is that could be available. And, you know, the Lakers could say, hey, we'll give you a first. No, they probably wouldn't give him a first round pick, but you know, you give him something, give him a little cash, second round pick, and say, because you're not technically trading coaches, but like coaches and managers in baseball have kind of been traded before. I mean, obviously, you know, think of John Gruden is one. That's one that comes to mind first, but you can't have this core come back together. It was an utter disaster. And Morey was talking earlier today, and he's like, you know, once we get a full year of James Harden and everybody here together, because he needed practice to learn how to play in the playoffs? He needed to learn how to actually take a shot. He took two shots last night in the second half. Two. This is a guy that led the NBA in scoring, averaged like 35 points a game, is one of the all-time great scorers the NBA has had when he was in Houston. And he took two shots in the entire second half of that game. It's a man. They're like, oh, yeah, all he needs is a little more time. He needs to, like, settle in. I mean, they clicked the minute they play together. James Harden just doesn't care. He's getting his $47 million next year. He's got scoring titles. He's got an MVP. He's cool. That is more than enough to spend at the strip club and get your jersey retired at every strip club across America. That's it. It's all he needs.
Does he autograph it for them, or does he ask for autographs from them?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a great question. I'm not sure. What my guess would be is he'd autograph it for them and then autograph other things in the strip club as well.
I see what you're saying.
He just goes on a signing spree. You know, it's like, it's Ricky Bobby. Yes, ma'am, I'll sign your baby. Like that's it. He just go down the list. I guess it's not Ricky Bobby. That was... No, that was.
Yeah, that was.
What was there was the campaign or the, what was the other movie he did where there was something like that too? I don't know. Anyway, I lost track.
I can't remember.
Movies are all the same, but I love them all. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I love them all. But yeah, it's going to be pretty much the same thing, because it isn't like anybody wants James Harden now. His stock is at an all-time low.
No. Who has interest in that sort of player? He's somehow poisoned some of the prime years of, and it's been 1 year, but if he's, you know, still around next year going into the future, he's poisoned some of the prime years of Joel Embiid's career.
It's honestly really, really disappointing that this is what Joel Embiid is going to have to deal with. Honestly, if I'm Joel Embiid, I go to Daryl Morey and say, you see all these stars asking for trades? You don't figure this thing out? I'm going to be one to do that, because he does deserve better. He's out there with a broken face and a severed ligament in his thumb, and he's getting banged around, and yet we've got James Harden too scared to even take a shot, ready to be done with the season. I've never seen a star more uninterested in playing a game, a meaningful playoff game, than what we saw over the last couple of games from him, not even to mention even earlier in the playoffs.
An elimination game, and you only take two shots in the second half. You don't want to be there. Yeah.
At all. And I just, you know, I look at this now, and it's like, if I'm the Miami Heat, this is why I'm glad you said this earlier too. The Heat are not going to be battle tested like the Celtics and the Bucks will. Whoever wins that series is going to be in much more of a playoff mode mentality than what you've got going on with the Heat. And I like the Heat. I think what Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley have built in terms of culture in an era of like everybody trying to just stockpile superstars, they've built a culture of having all these undrafted guys go out and have great contributions in big seasons. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler has really established a culture that's there. Bam Adebayo is not going to be somebody that you're going to run your offense through, but is an all-star in his own right. They lack that level of talent that Boston has with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and, you know, obviously what Giannis brings to the table. But they've built something in Miami that is sustainable. They've built something there that when you show up, it's like the Patriots, where it's, this is our culture. You buy in or you're out.
Yeah, it's sustainable, but at what level does it are you sustaining? I guess
there is
for lack
a lower
of a
ceiling. There is a lower right. ceiling on Miami's potential than there is, say, Milwaukee or Boston.
Right, because Milwaukee and Boston can play both ends of the floor, and like you said earlier, when Jimmy Butler's on, it's fun to watch. It really yes. is, yeah. but he's not there every night. And right. even if he is there every night, what else is around him? And so, look, I love the fact that Miami plays the game the right way, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, and
wow,
that they are.
You know, that's a lot of respect to the culture over there. What are you doing?
I just aged by 37 years when
really
I said
did.
It that
did you,
way.
Oh, you got to run right outside way. Next break and put your shake your fist at a cloud too while you're
yes,
at it.
Exactly. But
they have culture, and I don't care about Miami.
Oh, your kids don't play defense.
I miss
anymore.
The short shorts and long socks. Those were great.
Oh, the game was not the same after Rick Barry stopped the granny shot. Let me tell you, kids, the 3-point line ruined everything. But no, all three of the teams that are left in the East, that's what I appreciate about them. They can play defense, right? But if you can't play the other end of the floor just as well, then are you a championship caliber team? And I don't think Miami is.
Yeah, they're just not going to be on the level with Boston and what Milwaukee is. So I see whoever wins that series going on to the NBA Finals. And then, you know, obviously the question on the other side is, you know, Phoenix seems to be dipping at the worst possible time. So you have a wide open NBA playoffs right now, more wide open than we've had in a long, long time, because even the favorite coming into the playoffs in the Phoenix Suns, they're not the favorite anymore, and they look like they're at risk of maybe even losing this series to Dallas. That's what this has become. Like, ultimately, I do think Phoenix does win, but it's more in question now than it's been the entire playoffs that they could have an elimination in the second round and sit around going, well, what's next for us? Did we already have our window close?
Well, and they didn't survive the Chris Paul and Devin Booker injuries to look like this. In big
yeah,
moments.
They were great without them. I mean, they played honestly like Memphis did without Ja Morant, where it's like we just keep going as best we can.
But now it's like everybody, it's something when you've got that level of talent, and it's not no disrespect to DeAndre Ayton, like he's a very good basketball player, but he shouldn't be the one being left to carry things while Devin Booker goes 0-for-8 from three or whatever he was the other night. That's not championship caliber either,
by the way. Eight yeah. turnovers for Devin Booker on top of that. And look, it's hard to win in it's hard to run an offense through a big man. You just don't do that in today's NBA. And Ayton's kind of more of the traditional big. He'll step out occasionally, but ultimately he leans much more towards the traditional big than like Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid will play on the perimeter a lot more than DeAndre Ayton is. And Phoenix doesn't win if Chris Paul isn't playing well, and he's got to stop turning the ball over. You just don't see this out of him.
It's not really very likely at all, but what would you give for a Memphis-Dallas conference final?
You know, I actually would rather see Phoenix and Golden State just because those are the top two. I felt like you've got the Warriors who've been there so many times before. The Suns went there last year. Those are the two best teams. To me, in the West, the Warriors just weren't at full strength really this entire year. But man, that'd be great for the NBA to have Memphis and Dallas, because what you're doing is you're putting out young stars and giving them that exposure. Right. And I think that makes a massive, massive difference. The NBA is seeing a big transition, and you're getting a lot of the young stars having big games, and it's good for the league because at some point LeBron James is going to be gone. All right, Power Hour coming up next. It's You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts,
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect.